And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hey folks, welcome into On to Waveland. This podcast is brought to you by DirecTV Stream. Get your TV together with the best of live and on demand. Learn more at directtv.com. On to Waveland, also brought to you by Topps. Check out Topps Project 70, celebrating 70 years of Topps baseball cards. I am Brett Taylor, joined by Patrick Mooney. We are here to talk Cubs baseball, or, you know, I gotta work on that. That's always my intro. We're here to talk Cubs baseball. There's no Cubs baseball right now. We're here to talk Cubs organizational direction and decisions and spending money intelligently, being really active, but also intelligent. That's obviously a reference to the big news of the week. It's the end of season presser from Jed Hoyer, his first as president of the Cubs. And we're going to get into some of the more interesting things he said or didn't say, but I want to kick it off with that line there. So obviously Jed dropped it again, the idea that the Cubs are going to be really active in free agency, but they are going to spend intelligently. And I'm curious, Mooney, clearly, whether that was like explicitly workshopped in the front office and sort of batted around. It's like, how do we want to express, how do we want to say that we're going to, you know, try to do a lot of things, maybe make a lot of signings, but we're not going to, you know, we're not going to be in on Carlos Correa. Like that's what I hear when he says this. And I'm curious your thoughts on like, to what extent that's just Jed sort of found a way he wanted to have this, to make this point, to comment this, or do you think they actually are like, how do we best express this without saying anything that's going to affect the markets that we're trying to pursue, what's not going to piss off fans too much? Like, I'm just curious, to since he's said it like five times in five different places, and then again this week, so clearly there's an attachment to that phrasing.
Yeah, I think free agency in general is difficult to talk about. I think he kind of referenced this like because of the CBA or something like that. And I think it's his verbal stylings. I mean, they've been sitting on this for months now. Like they've already shifted their focus towards this direction. It's not like they were knocked out game 162 and suddenly had to shift focus. Like they've been thinking about this a long time. And I think reading between the lines, you're absolutely correct. Like someone like Correa is not going to fall to an area that makes sense to them, like period. Like Sahadev said, we don't think there's going to be any 5, 6, 7 year offers. They're, you know, the Gausman Rays know of the market, but maybe they'll reach out, see where it is. But I mean, there's no like realistic likelihood that they're going to fall into the Cubs range. But, you know, we've been saying this for a long time. There's so much money on the book, coming off the books. And they have so many holes on the roster. Like they're going to do a lot. It's just going to be on shorter term deals, higher AAVs, things like that. And I mean, you don't really need to watch the entire Zoom conference. I'd recommend not, because there was a lot of kind of fast-forwarding type moments. But that was in essence it. He did not say that the budget would go back to where it was in 2019 when they had the highest payroll in the National League. And there was this kind of tap dance around, we'll be really active, we'll sign a lot of guys, but it's not going to be mega deals.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Yeah, so I thought it was funny, the, you know, this whole idea of like, we're going to, you know, be active but spend intelligently is probably not an explicit response to, was the Phillies GM, right? A couple years ago that was like, we're going to just be out there and be stupid. Like, I think he said, the owner. Right? Was the owner. Okay.
Stupid money, right?
Stupid money, yes. And of course, that did precede the signing of Bryce Harper, which... I thought that was a very interesting signing, if nothing else. You know, 14 years or whatever at a lower AAV is interesting. I don't know that I would call it stupid money, but it does remind you that there's really not much benefit to saying, yeah, we're going to be out there spending a ton. And certainly the Cubs front office under Theo and then under Jed, that's always been their mantra about spending. It's always been like, you know, well, we just don't see a competitive advantage in saying blah, 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 blah. But you could pretty easily, I think, I don't know that there has been a single offseason in these 10 years that we've been shocked by the type of spending that they've done. You know, like there wasn't a year where it was like, whoa, thought this was going to be this kind of offseason and it's turned into this. So I think we can generally read the tea leaves pretty well. And like you said, maybe there'll be some guys that sort of surprisingly fall into ranges where the Cubs see value and you kind of throw other plans out the window. But generally speaking, it just for reasons we have discussed at length and that have been reinforced by comments that Jed Hoyer has made, it just doesn't seem like this is the time when the Cubs are going to be going after the guys who require 6, 7, 8 year deals in order to sign, because the maximum value you get from those guys are in the first couple of years, and that doesn't seem to align with the Cubs' best opportunity to win, even as they're going to try to compete in 2022 through some of these shorter term higher AAV deals. And again, that's why we focus on that so much, and that's why it seems like that's what Hoyer's reinforcing in his comments. I did appreciate that was you, Mooney, right, that asked during the press conference, like, that when will payroll be back to like 2019 levels, or will spending go back to 2019 levels specifically? And yes. You pressed him on that. Yeah. That was good. I you could see in his countenance that he totally got the question. And even though I think he asked for like a restate almost, he totally got
like,
it.
I don't know what that himself. Is.
Yeah. Like, well, yeah.
You have the highest payroll in the National League, but
yeah. And he knew, I think I'll give credit and say, I think there's a genuineness to this point in time not knowing exactly what they're going to spend next year. I think that's genuine because
he has a sense, but not an exact number yet. That usually goes through October, the budgeting process.
Right. So you've got the combination of the Cubs will actually do their budgeting and their planning for forward-looking years, but you sort of... What's delicate too is, yeah, maybe you could extrapolate it out to an expected payroll number for next year, but like it also depends on who becomes available. What, you know, long-term money can you say, well, maybe we could, you know, rejigger things a little bit for this year because we want to actually sign this 4-year deal with this guy. And because they're making plans many years out in advance in terms of expected, you know, revenue projections, expense projections. And so I think that's something that's fair to keep in mind when we talk about like what the expectations are for the Cubs spending next year. But, you know, genuinely, I thought the way you asked it was the best way to put that question, because it's what we really want to know. It's not, give me a specific dollar amount for payroll next year. It's when are you going to be able to be at the level that you were at a couple, you know, pre-pandemic? That's all we really want to know, is like how deep and long lasting is the impact from the pandemic and that transition going to be, or at least how long is the organization going to sell that idea? And I don't know what else we do with that information.
Well, I liked the way you wrote it up on Bleacher Nation, of just like, this is a callback for the rest of the off season, that these manufactured Zoom TV shows are not the ideal forum for extracting useful information, but at least it's recorded and it's being broadcast live and they have to say something. And sometimes it's not the answer, it's just the question. And that the fact that it wasn't like we're back to where we were, which I don't think anyone assumed the Cubs are going to go back to a $220 million payroll next year. But there are tea leaves that we can read, and that I will give Jed credit that he is not someone who is going to straight out lie to your face. I know sometimes there are these kind of corporate buzzwords and that it may not be exactly what fans want to hear, but it's not, he does not speak in Matt Nagy word salads, which is always appreciated. And I think he appreciates the fact that we have a job to do. He understands that this is a way to speak directly to Cubs fans, and that he, you know, grew up, you know, obsessing over the Red Sox and like reading Peter Gammons. Like he gets all that. So I don't have any issues with, you know, how he answered or what he answered. I just thought it was had to be asked, even if, you know, he's not going to like write a number on a sheet of paper and like put it up against the screen, obviously, but we can kind of tell like there's a ton of money coming off the book. So there's going to have to be a reinvestment made, because it's a 91 loss team with like enormous holes everywhere on the field. But I think what you've written, Brett, kind of throughout this post World Series window, you know, it's not the Bryce Harpers of the world that necessarily frustrate Cubs fans, though there obviously was a ton of interest in that. It's like, you know, DJ LeMahieu on that 2-year deal, whatever, for $30 million, or like not waiting to sign Craig Kimbrell until Ben Zobrist takes an unpaid personal leave of absence. It's like, and the more chances you can take, the more bets you can make. If you trust your baseball operation, you want them to be doing that, whether it's an injured guy or a faded prospect, just to do more and more and more. And like, I get why people look at the Rays, or, you know, if Cubs convention is a thing, there's going to, you know, they'd have a session on like the 2021 Padres, a cautionary tale. Like that's what we're going to be hearing all winter. It's like, but you're not the Rays, you're not the Padres, you're the Chicago Cubs. So act like it.
Yeah, that inability to, or the, is it inability? Maybe that's giving too much credit. The unwillingness to look at your roster and know where you have the necessity perhaps to paper over some mistakes and to take advantage of opportunities in the market where maybe it's not super convenient for payroll purposes, but where there's going to be value. And like, you know, you mentioned Craig Kimbrell, and that's almost a perfect example. Like let's throw out for a moment how things proceeded, because that 2019 season, I think he just got out of whack because his market didn't develop. And like, I throw that year out. And then you had the pandemic year where he had 3 bad appearances to start the season. And then he was amazing. From then on, he was Craig Kimbrell. And I think back to that offseason, and it would have made sense from the beginning to pursue Kimbrell, because his market didn't develop in a way where he was going to get uber paid. And it was like, okay, there's an opportunity there. And they for whatever reason, the money was not made available until, like you said, just that perfect confluence of money being returned to the team, essentially because of Ben Zobrist. Then it's like, okay, we can do this. And it just felt so... there were so many opportunities like that. I mean, you named the other, DJ LeMahieu was another big one, where it just felt like a guy is clearly not getting his full value in the market. you're the Chicago Cubs, one of the biggest revenue teams in baseball. You should take advantage of these opportunities when they present themselves. And on the one hand, while I'm pleased that from a payroll standpoint, the Cubs now are clearly in a position not to be unable to take advantage of any of those opportunities. Like, they should be able to be right there now on any of those. I don't love that it's as if it's being presented in tandem with this idea that, like, yeah, we can be really intelligent now and target the guys we really want right now, but only because we don't have a bunch of huge contracts on the books. So what are you telling us? Because
we have like
three
big league players on our roster.
Yeah, like that's what it takes in order to be able to be in this position. So it's like I'm trying to have it both ways as a fan, because I've mentioned before on the podcast that I'm really stoked about where the Cubs are in terms of the ability to target some of these shorter term, really intriguing, super high upside, but very risky, you know, pricey short term deal guys. They haven't been able to play in that pool in a long time, or they haven't been willing to. And so I'm excited that they are. But at the same time, I don't want to yield to this idea that suddenly when the big long-term contracts come around, then you can only be in that mode and you can't have it both ways. And so that's why, you know, Jed Hoyer was mentioning the Giants and the Rays as examples of teams that everybody will try to emulate because they didn't win the offseason because they do it in a certain way. And in his defense, I don't think he was just saying like, oh, they're very economical in how they've done it.
True, yeah.
But at the same time, it's like he was clearly focusing on certain types of transactions. And I'm thinking in my head as he's mentioning it, well, the Rays are kind of a unique bird. Like, I really feel like it's hard to compare anything to them. But I think about the Giants, and they're going to spend this offseason. I mean, they're probably, wouldn't you call them the favorite to sign Chris Bryant at this point? And like,
yes,
that's going to be a monster contract. So like, does that mean that they're now wrong, that they've suddenly become an unintelligent organization by doing that? And so I guess I'm just careful not to say that just because I'm excited about what the Cubs might do this offseason, that like they should forever be out on big contracts. And I just don't want to give too much credit to or ignore it, like you said, that the last few years, the Cubs could have probably been doing a lot of this same stuff, and they just chose not to.
Yeah, I think we have to be open-minded here, and I think Jed is looking at it like he's not going into next year like I'm writing off 2022. Like, and again, the Cubs and the Padres are not like peer franchises, but if you look at his, I want to say, first year in San Diego, like they made a couple moves. They got a lot of best case scenarios, like over and over again, guys outperforming, guys having career years. I think they won like 90 games and almost won a division title until Mike Quadi's Cubs knocked them out in late September. And then I want to say that was the Giants' first even year World Series.
Mike Quadi got himself a return gig.
That's right. Yeah. It was. And so, like, that's not like something you'd like stake your reputation on or like bet your 401k on, but it's entirely possible that the Cubs can make a lot of really good, smart moves this offseason and spend in a thoughtful, intelligent way that leads to the Cubs, you know, totally exceeding our expectations right now as like I'm sitting in a basement. You know what I mean? Like, things can happen. It's just they're not going to give themselves the best chance to win in 2022. And I think clearly what he's looking for big picture is like they need to figure out what they got at the big league level. The Nikos, the Madrigals, the Hoyers, the how they're going to kind of like bullpen their way through the season, you know, and then these interesting prospects. You know, I think it's reasonable to expect Brennan Davis to be at Wrigley Field at some point next year. But then it's that like other group at the lower end of the system, like they need to see progress from them. And like 2020 was just, you know, kind of a almost a nothing largely for the farm system. And then this year there were a ton of injuries on the pitching side. position player side, and like all the good things that they're pointing to are almost exclusively at the Class A level or the complex league level. So like, you know, does a Ryan Jensen or a Jordan Wicks on the pitching side take steps forward? And then like some of these interesting young position players, like can they move forward? And then, you know, Jed can be like, okay, it's time to start putting the foot down. And you're kind of lining up to exactly where we were at spring training last year, just not with all these big name 2016 World Series players. Of if we hit our best case scenarios, yes, we'll buy in a methodical way at the trade deadline. Otherwise, we're just going to get rid of these guys and get more prospects. Like it's going to be another kind of, you know, 3 month season or whatever, 3-4 month season.
Yeah, it is. It's crazy how you can set up. You can imagine a world where there are going to be so many parallels between 2022, the, you know, our expectations for it, and 2021, which is crazy given completely different roster, completely different set of players, different tier of players potentially. But it is, that is funny.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy!
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds!
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
So I do want to mention a couple things that stood out to me from Jed's comments that I did really like. Two major things stood out that, again, not entirely unexpected, but aligned with some things that I think, and it just, I dug hearing them. One was he was not handing jobs to anybody. Like even Frank Schwindel, Hoyer was, I mean, he had, of course, great praise for him, as he should. Because again, what Schwindel has done and how he has done it the last 2 months was really impressive. And you'd be crazy not to be like, okay, we need to carve out some space for this guy. But it wasn't like Hoyer was taking the low-hanging fruit and being like, yeah, he won himself the first base job. We got that locked down. He was just very cautious to be like, this guy is going to be an important part of our team. We'll figure out how later. That was sort of the message throughout, and it's what we've been saying about a lot of these guys. We've been saying it about some of the pitchers. We've been saying it about Nico Horner. We've been saying it about Schwindel. And I like that. I like to know that that's the thinking heading into the offseason about these guys, this group of players.
Yeah, I thought back to stuff that you had written, Brett, and what we had talked about, and I think you have to give Jed credit. You may not like every move he says, you may not like the way he says everything, but he has a pretty clear-eyed view of this organization, and he's seen some of like the best teams of this generation, like up close, day after day after day, and he knows what that looks like. And, you know, I think we've seen, you know, what did Joe Madden say? There's no entitlement program here. And then it kind of felt like the Cubs had one. And
I forgot about that quote. That's good.
There's no, that's not a knock on Joe. It's just kind of like the Cubs were stuck with this group for a long time. And so I do think, you know, he's obligated to give credit to the 2016 players. And he said he watched, you know, some of the Red Sox-Yankees game and, you know, like seeing Schwarber and Rizzo. But I do think it's energizing to have this opportunity to reshape the team and build it. And in kind of the image that you have in your head. And Frank Schwindel was a nice story. Patrick Wisdom was a nice story. They've certainly earned kind of the benefit of the doubt heading into camp. And, you know, I think we can see a role for them on this team next year. But like thinking they've had it made or they've figured it out, you know, it would be very short-sighted. And so, I mean, Jed knows he wants to build a team that can win, you know, 95 games. And, you know, he's been given this kind of opportunity to where he's not just like, you know, trying to like compete for the second wild card to like save his job or prove something. Like he's trying to build it for the long term. And so why would you lock yourself into almost any position heading into next year?
And speaking of, or at least I can do a decent transition off of that to the other thing that I really liked, which, you know, we think about and we've talked at length about, and we don't have to dig in at this time on Adbert Alzolay, Justin Steele, Keegan Thompson. But what I really liked is in the discussion of that group, Jed Hoyer was asked something that we've wondered about for a while is what is the organization's philosophy and or appetite for working pitching prospects in initially as relievers and then transitioning them back to starters, which is something that a handful of organizations do and have done successfully. And for a dramatic lack of homegrown pitching prospects, we have not had an opportunity in the Theo Jed era to even know if that's something that they're into. And so I appreciated his discussion of that topic that, yes, that he's a fan of that conceptually. And what I liked in particular was he offered part of the reason he likes it was not something that I had thought about, which was this idea that, like, when people talk about this concept, it's shows the guy he can get big league hitters out, gets him some experience being around big league pitchers, helps him craft his pitches, you know, whatever. Like, there are these narrow reasons why it makes sense. But then he offered one that I had never thought of before, which is that if you do it specifically in a multi-inning role, but you're communicating, hey, you're a reliever, so let it all hang out, do the relief thing. But then the guy comes out for a second inning and he sees, okay, my stuff is still there. I was really pushing last inning, but it's still there. My velo is still there. And he comes out for a third inning and it's still there. And it can help teach a young pitcher who maybe came up always thinking as a starter, like, I've got to preserve a little bit. You know, I got to hold back a little bit to try to go 5-6 innings. They learn, oh, you know what? I'm in my third, fourth inning of this relief appearance and I'm still pedal down. And my stuff is still there. And I thought that was a really interesting way. Like it's a way to prove to a young pitcher you can push a little harder earlier on and still have it hang for multiple innings.
Yeah, I did like in that video conference, it was like every kind of like, not fringe player, but like bubble player, like asking like every single guy, like you see on the team next year and be like, probably, but we don't know the role. It's like you could just... Except for Wilson Contreras and Kyle Hendricks, everyone is kind of in this other bucket of like, prove it. Like, do what we say in the offseason, get yourself in great shape, work on your weaknesses, and kill it in Arizona, and then we'll see where we're at. Like, I'm trying to think, is there anyone besides Hendricks and Contreras who you are penciling in for like next year, like, period?
Well, for like a specific spot and role. No.
Yes, because that closest, you can count on, that you can reasonably count on. Yeah.
Nick Madrigal would be one, right? But like, I don't know that we can say
he's specifically, he played, what, 230 game seasons in the majors.
Exactly.
So like,
exactly.
I'm not like, off the top of my head, I can't think of anyone else. And I'm saying Mills is probably your fifth starter. Nico and Madrigal are in the mix. Schwindel's in the mix. Right. Wisdom, you know.
Haps in them is probably, yeah, in the, I mean, Hap, somewhere. I mean,
is probably closer to the Hendricks.
But your point is well taken.
But it's like, you know, we didn't have to keep asking Jed over and over again. Like, this is what it is. And, you know, I think in a lot of ways it's refreshing to kind of see that.
Yeah. So that's, you know, I don't think anybody expected anything totally revelatory. Probably the biggest bit of news was that Mike Borzello, after 10 years in the organization as a strategy coach, is going to be moving on. Otherwise, it was a useful exercise, like I had mentioned and Mooney mentioned, as sort of a touchstone for us to look back to later in the offseason. And we'll probably be getting a little more mileage out of that for discussion purposes going forward. But I think probably the next time we chat with you folks, probably be a little playoff focused, because we'll be a little deeper run. And I do think there's not only interesting things to discuss about the postseason, because, hey, if you're listening to this, you like baseball anyway, but it often presents opportunities to contextualize that stuff through a Cubs lens. And that's something I really like to do. And so I look forward to that the next time we chat with you folks here on Onto Waveland. I am Brett Taylor. You can get my stuff at Bleacher Nation. That is Patrick Mooney. Get his at The Athletic. Presumably Sahadev Sharma will be back with us next time we chat. And we just appreciate you taking this time to let us into your phone or wherever it is that you're getting this podcast. So take care, all.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.